Here we are back at Beyond the Rut, that weekly podcast inspiring and equipping you to make your own path and live the life you've always dreamed of. Beyond the Rut. I'm your host, Jerry Dugan. Not fired yet by Brandon, the mastermind, the other host, the main host. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. I can't fire you. I don't know how to hook all this stuff up.
Yeah. Job security. Until you meet another friend who knows how to do this, then.
Hey, there you go.
Then I got to up my game a bit.
Send your application to info@beyondtherut.com.
We got that working again?
I believe so.
Cool. All right. We'll have to test that out. So test that out for us. info@beyondtherut.com. And if that doesn't work, call us at 361-596-3788.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Beyond the Rut.
That's so much easier. Yeah. So, Brandon.
People don't use phones anymore. Come on.
I know. What am I thinking? I don't even use a phone anymore. And here I am giving a phone number out.
Although Stephanie did call in last week. So that was awesome.
That was cool. That made the episode, episode 56.
Yes.
The one where we talked about how not to carb up for a race.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, man. I still love telling the story about how my original thing was on a scale of 1 to 9 for spiciness. I was half Asian, so I was going to go with a 4 or 5. But then you came out and said 5, and I had to be more Asian than you, so I said 7. And I was dying. I still feel the pain in my mouth from that.
I love the fact that you tried to out-Asian a white guy from North Texas. I mean, how hard could that possibly be?
I went with 7.
And regretted every minute of it.
Every bite, from the first bite till it was time to go, it tasted good. And I even put the restaurant in the show notes. So if you guys want to take the 7 spiciness challenge, just to one up me, I mean, go for it. It's in San Antonio, Pho Nguyen Vietnamese restaurant. Good food, good service, great service. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even when the guy was making fun of us for being, you know, too bold in our spiciness attempt.
That's true.
Yeah. So we did the mud run, the Thunder Dash mud run, and the pictures are being posted from that. And, I guess we should reach out to see if we can actually post that onto our blog without getting sued, because that'd be really neat to share with our audience.
We can, actually. I have bugged the people at Thunder Dash, and if they're listening, I apologize, because I wanted more pictures, because out of the 2,000 pictures they posted, I think there were 3 of me, and I wanted more of me because, you know, I'm a 15-year-old girl and a little vain, but more pictures are coming, apparently. But they said, do with them whatever they want, because they've got their logo on the picture. So,
okay, so
just more publicity for them.
And as long as they get credit, great. So I'll start posting that to episode 56's show notes. And we'll just share it on social media. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was telling the kids about some of the stories, like that rope thingy where people are going sideways on it, taking their time. And I got on that thing and I just walked right across. Yep. But the look on my face totally didn't match what was going through my head. Like, I was like, I'm a commando. I'm going fast. I'm awesome. And then you see the picture. It's like, I got this, oh crap, I'm going to die look on my face. And then there's another one where I'm like, yeah, I ran down this face first, like facing downward. And I felt like a commando. And then I see the next picture where I'm actually going down the hill and I'm doing it backwards like everybody else. Exactly. I'm like, I guess I wasn't a commando on this one.
And if you ran Thunder Dash, give us a call on the line and just let us know what your experience was, because we both said, can't wait to do it again next year. There's a mud run happening here in Corpus in, I think, April, said.
Run amok.
And we're going to try to promote that and get a group together. And so we've got some stuff coming up for that. But one of the things that happened with the Thunder Dash is it kind of sparked a let's enter stuff and do it. So I
think
decided
it created a monster in you is what happened.
I don't know if monster's the right word or just lunatic's the right word, because I met a couple of friends that ran a mini triathlon in Portland, just across the bridge from where we are in Corpus.
Portland, Texas, not Portland, Oregon.
And so they told me I should sign up for it and give it a shot. And I was looking at the website, and they've got a newbie triathlon, and then they've got a regular triathlon. And I said, no, I'm going to scare myself and do the regular triathlon. Knowing at the time I did not own a bike, and so I hadn't been on a bike in years. I don't know how long, but I signed up for it and just said, well, now I'm locked in. I have 3 to 4 weeks to get ready. It's October 29th. So I think at this point I've got 3 weeks, but at the time I had a whole month to get ready.
And I'll be on site taking photos of you. I'll probably interview you at the end of the race, make it look like you're famous out there at the finish line.
Be like, who's that guy? He's on Beyond the Rut.
On Beyond the Rut. Check us out. We're on the web.
I got to get a shirt made, Jamie. Come on.
So yeah, there's the triathlon coming up Did you already run the Goliad 5K, or is that coming up?
That was actually today, and because I started training for the triathlon, okay. I decided not to do that, because what I've done is I kind of created this schedule to train, and I've done a lot of research. I didn't just say, hey, I'm going to run a triathlon. Let's see what happens. First, I had a really good friend, Dale, that loaned me his bike,
okay.
And so I've been riding the bike and swimming at the Natatorium. I've just recently started swimming at the Parker Pool. I made a connection there, cool. And they're trying to get a little bit more business there, so shout out to the Parker Pool here in Flyer Bluff. But I've been running for quite a while, and so I run about 3.25 miles every other day for mm-hmm. the most part, which is a 5K in itself. And then I've been riding, so now my schedule is I ride, swim, and run on alternating days.
Okay.
So the run is a 5K, the swim is 400 yards, and then the bike is 14 miles. And then today I did all three.
Okay. How does that go?
It was excruciating, to be honest, because riding 14 miles in a city that's not really built for bikes is hard, because there's so many places you can't go. You'll get run over.
Yeah.
So it took a little bit of work to kind of figure out where to go. But the cool thing about it is I've not spent like a bunch of money. I didn't buy a bike. A friend let me borrow a bike. Another friend let me borrow a helmet. And then I had to buy goggles. I think that was like $10. And then I bought these zip-up shoelace things that runners use because it's quicker transition to put your shoes on. But then I thought about it. When I get out of the pool and put my shoes on, I'm probably going to want to sit there for a while anyway and catch my breath. So I don't know if I need that time. But so it's literally cost me about $20 to
so whether you lace up your shoes or not, quickly, you're still going to sit there and catch your breath before you move on. Awesome.
I don't know what I was thinking.
That's the spirit.
I'm definitely not trying to win this triathlon. I'm trying to finish this triathlon. Well,
that was just like the mud run. Like, we weren't there to win the race and get it done absolutely. In 25, 30 minutes. Like, we were there. I think we finished an hour, 15 minutes.
Right.
And it was all about just doing it. And we were being paced by a woman who was 16 weeks pregnant.
Exactly.
Yeah, I found that out afterwards. I knew she was pregnant. I didn't know how pregnant. And I'm sitting there thinking,
yep.
Hey, so we did it as fast as, actually, she probably could have gone a lot faster without us dragging her back. But anyway, Stephanie, it was still, you know, great to have you keeping us on pace, at least moving forward.
I think if her friends had shown up, she would have just blown us out of the water. Oh, we would have probably never seen her
again. I don't know these guys. I'm not going to be embarrassed by how slow they're going.
Yeah.
Peace out, y'all. I'll keep listening to the show, but I'm not going to be seen in public with you right now. So we got the triathlon. You got the triathlon coming up. I bowed out of that one. Mainly because I'm still recovering from the mud run a little bit, my muscles, and I needed to regroup and actually get off my duff and start running.
Cool.
And then are you still going to do the 10K that's part of the half marathon, the Harbor Half in Corpus Christi? So you're still doing that?
That's my goal. I've not signed up for it yet, but it's mid-November, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
And my coworker's going to run in the 10K portion of that. So
cool.
We'll try to loop her into the Beyond the Rut thing.
Hey, there you go.
So I probably won't run in that one either, because what I want to do is we've got Jacob in the studio audience, my son, and he really wants to do that insane inflatable
5K.
Yes.
That is a blast. So, my son Avery and I did that year before last, I think. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work because you're running. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's geared around fun, like Thunder Dash. But you get so tired going through these obstacles mm-hmm. that when you come out, you can't really run. You're already out of breath. But it's a lot of fun. People in costumes and all that kind of stuff. So it is a lot of fun.
Man. Hey, are you going to wear the Jacob Dash costume from The Incredibles? I'll be Mr. Big Incredible, just like when you were little. He's 15. He's like, no.
When we went up there to do it, it was near Comfort where we did the Thunder Dash near San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But it was we didn't realize how many people wore costumes, but there was a ton of people in costumes. And my favorite guy, and I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, but he had on a full-on Spider-Man costume. So like every inch of his body was covered. And this was probably late April, I think, early May, something like that. So it was warm outside. Wow. I was sweating. And I'm just thinking, you're in a full body suit running this 5K, but I guess he survived. I don't know. I never saw him again after that.
He's stuck in an inflatable. They deflated it. He's still in there.
Probably.
He popped out of the next event. Oh, thank you guys so much. Water.
And it's funny because I was looking at the newbie triathlon and I was thinking, okay, I could do that. That would not be that hard mm-hmm. Because I already do a lot of what was on it with the exception of the biking. And I thought, I'm not really scared to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why I chose the regular one, because I thought, I don't know if I can do that.
Because that really pushes you beyond that comfort zone.
Right. Which is the whole premise of this podcast, is to do something that scares you. And we talked a while back about not just telling people that they should go do that, but we should do it too. And so I clicked that and just said, you know, and it had a little warning sign that, you know, after 72 hours or 48 hours, you cannot, there are no refunds or changes or whatever. And I just thought, well, I'm locked in. I'm not going to change anything now. So I either embarrass myself or die, or I finish one or the other.
And whatever happens, I'll be there to take pictures of it. So there you go.
There you go.
Share it with all of you listening in right now.
And I got a huge adrenaline rush, not just from the fear of not being able to do it, but but also from the challenge of can I do it? Because I've been running now for, I guess, a couple of two or three months, certainly not been a runner for a long time, but just the whole premise of challenging myself. And I was telling Renee this morning, I said, you know, I just don't know if I can do all three today. Or I guess I was telling her that last night, because I got up this morning and did it. And I said, but I'm going to find out. You know, and I'm not breaking any land speed records or, you know, challenging any real triathletes yet, but it's the fact that I'm pushing myself to see if I can do it. Because like we've been saying, I would rather fail at this than to have never attempted it. Yeah. Thought, I don't know if I can do a triathlon or not.
There was somebody we knew from church. They had a slogan, SOFO, S-O-F-O, step out to find out. And it's exactly what you did this morning. Awesome. Yeah, step out to find out. And they applied that to business, though. They didn't know if they were going to succeed in business unless they stepped out to find out if they really could do it or not. And you're doing the same thing, pushing yourself on a physical level. And so what was the hardest thing about getting started when you started running for the first time?
I think the best thing I did was I did a little bit of research. And a long time ago, a friend of mine told me about the Couch to 5K app.
Yeah, that was me.
And so I said, I'm going to download that and just see if it works. And the first couple of weeks, you literally run like hundreds of yards and then walk.
Yeah.
And then hundreds of yards and then walk. And then next thing you know,
after I love the walking part. I'll just admit that.
Oh, me too. And I missed it towards the end of the app when you get into like week six or seven. I'm like, there used to be more walking in this. But it really showed me that I could run a whole mile.
Yeah.
Because literally, if you've not been listening to this podcast for a while, you may not know that I've only been a runner since about late July, early August. Yeah. And before that, I didn't run. And so I did this to kind of challenge myself. And so I had to get there. Once I got there and I realized I could run a whole 5K, I was like, wait a minute. I thought a 5K was a lot harder than this. This isn't really that bad. So then I got Couch to 10K app.
Okay.
And I started running that one. And I got to about 6-7 miles. And then what I realized was, unless I get up early enough to get that done, and home to shower and get Maddie to school and all that kind of good stuff, I run out of time. So I started concentrating on my pace with the 5K, and that got me to a point where I'm now about a 9:45 mile. And so that's enough time in the morning before work and everything else. So that was my biggest fear. Okay. Could I even do that?
Yeah.
Was my knee going to hurt? Was my back going to hurt? Whatever. And I promise every time I go out, my knee hurts. I don't feel like it. I'm not motivated. But once I get past that first 100, 200 yards, I'm okay. And then I enjoy it. I did not enjoy it for the first couple of months at all.
So when you were doing your pacing, are you just running as fast as you can for as long as you can? Or do you try to get a certain pace count every minute?
The great thing about what I did was, after I got through with the Couch to 5K and Couch to 10K, I wanted to start working on my pace. So I did a little bit more research, and I found out that the Nike running app will give you pace and split times and everything else. So and it's got a GPS on it, so it'll show you where you ran and how far. It keeps all those records. Now, there's a paid version. I don't remember how much it is, but the free version works just as good for me. It does everything I want it to do. But it also has a little coach in there, like Kevin Hart and all these different personalities. Hey, way to go, Jerry. Good job. You know, your fastest time ever. And
that'd be awesome to have Kevin Hart cheering me on as I ran.
It's kind of cool. And so
Dwayne Johnson.
What I do is I listen to a podcast, I listen to audiobooks, and I don't really music. I like music, but music to me gets old pretty quick. Mm. I don't like a song. I don't want to have to skip it. So I just do podcast and audiobooks.
Yeah.
So those are audiobooks aren't free, but all podcasts are. And the Nike app was free. And so I started trying to get my pace below 10 minutes. And when I first got the Nike app, my pace was about a 13 minute mile. So I've knocked almost 3 minutes or right at 3 minutes off of my mile pace. And it's mostly because I wasn't focused on it. Once I started focusing on it, then I got a little faster because my first mile would be like 9 minutes. My second mile would be like 11 minutes. My third mile would be 13 minutes and it would all average out.
Yeah.
So I try to keep the same pace now.
Okay. The reason why I brought that up was, I don't know if you remember the interview we did with Darius Farooq. Well, I mean, he had to work that day, but we did an interview with Darius Farooq. Yeah. And he wrote an article about keeping to about 180 beats per minute, I think it was. And I'll find the link and I'll put it in the show notes. And it was regardless of your stride, if you can get your feet hitting the pavement three times a second, basically, you would have a good pace. And then over time, you would just be able to stretch out that pace and you'd run easily a 10-minute mile. And actually, that helped me run when I did the Beach to Bay Relay Marathon. That's what helped me run the first 2 miles, was that I just tried my best to keep to 180 steps per minute. And I did. And then after that, I just went to a run walk and, you know, I had people cheering me on as I went. So that was something I heard about. And there's an app that helps you with that. I forgot the name of it because obviously I don't use it. But I'll find that. I'll put that in the show notes too. The article that Darius wrote and then the app. Yeah. There we go. Awesome. So let's see. So you've got the triathlon coming up. You're probably going to throw your name in the hat for the 10K. And I'm going to do the insane inflatable 5K with Jacob in December. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to do the run amok here in Corpus Christi. We're going to organize a meetup with it.
And Jacob's going to do the run amok too.
You're going to do the run amok, Jacob? Oh, he just nodded yes. Hey, and we have it on audio. Jacob Morales is doing the run amok with his dad.
We have his nod on audio.
Nod on audio. So two witnesses who you probably can't really trust. But anyway, we got the nod here on audio. How do you prove a nod on audio? You can't really.
He's in a church, so he has to be telling the
truth. There you go. God heard you. All right. So that's what we got going on as far as 5Ks, inflatable races, mud races, half marathons, 10Ks, all that good stuff. How long do you see yourself doing this, pushing yourself to run races? Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Is it just until I hit a marathon mark and I'm done? What kind of goal do you have here?
That's a great question because I was thinking about that the other day because I have a little bit of an addictive personality. So when I get involved in something, I just keep pushing myself almost until I fall over and stop. So
like I
don't.
Forrest Gump, I think I'm going to go home now.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I'm done. See ya. I don't want to be a marathoner. I don't want to run 26 miles or anything like that.
It's boring after a while. I would think. Yeah.
And I want to get this goal knocked out, and then I want to do some 5Ks that are enjoyable, like the one in Goliad. I wished I'd have gotten to do today, but there's a lot of them around the state of Texas that raise money for good causes, and I want to do a little bit of that. But after this, and I finish the triathlon, and I'll probably do a couple more this year, but they'll be easier. I won't train quite as hard because this literally is taking a good amount of time. It takes a while to run a 5K, but it also takes a while to do 14 miles on a bike and then to swim and all that. So it's taking a little bit of time away from the family and the many other things that I do. So I did say I won't do this again anytime soon, but I do have other goals that I want to knock out. One of the things I'm doing, and I don't think I've said this before, but I'm a huge fan of the blood bank. Everybody kind of knows that. I did put my name in the hat for a board seat on the blood bank. And in December, they have their nominating committee. So I'm hoping to do that and do some stuff with the blood bank. I want to get involved in that kind of thing, but I don't want to do something that just physically challenges me. I want to mentally be challenged and kind of get out of my comfort zone of just kind of doing normal stuff.
Plus, being a member of the board for the blood bank, I mean, you're making an impact on the community.
Right.
Yeah, they're the only show in town, and they could do things so much more effectively, and we've talked about that in the past. So that's really cool.
Right.
Awesome.
I'm really looking forward to that. Now, definitely on October 30th, you'll see on every piece of social media I have triathlete now. It's going on my resume. I'm
going to
put a sticker on my car.
Put it in the profile. It's like TEDx speaker. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. If I do it once, it will be what I'm known for.
That's
I'm going to get the tattoo and... Not really. I'm scared of tattoos. So, Renee, I'm not getting a tattoo.
What is it? I can say I'm an author because I've sold at least one copy of my ebook on Amazon.com.
There you go. Paid author.
Yes. I think it was 35 cents.
And that's the goal of this podcast, is to just inspire you to go do something you haven't done before. Because I certainly just 3 months ago would have said, I'd never sign up for a triathlon. Those are for crazy people who live and breathe that stuff, not just your normal everyday person. And I'm 46 years old. I'm going to be 47 in November, and I'm doing my first triathlon. So you can do it too. There's no reason to say you can't. You just have to dedicate a little bit of time to training for it and getting ready for it. But you could also open that business or write that book and do something that scares you, because that's the fuel really that kind of keeps you alive. I did a Facebook Live the other day. A friend of ours, a friend of Renee's that she works with, she has put in 40 years with the government.
Oh, wow.
And last Friday was her retirement day. She has bone cancer, and she literally has, you know, weeks to live. She has, you know, sadly gone into hospice care and all of that. But she realized that, you know, she put in 40 years, has retirement. Now, the blessing is she has medical and money to pay for everything, but she's not going to get to enjoy any of her retirement years.
Yeah.
And I said, don't live like that. Don't put in 40 years with the company just to get the benefits to go, you know, waste away like that.
Yeah.
And granted, it wasn't her fault. It just happened. It's tragic. But it's a great story to remind us that we've got to live today. And I'm doing a triathlon now because next year I might not be able to. I might not at 50 be able to do that physically or whatever, but I'm going to run all the way to the end. I'm not going to just be sitting in a chair somewhere wasting away.
Yeah.
And accept all of that stuff.
So you're doing the things now that most people are waiting until they retire or someday I'll do this. Yeah. And it's so powerful because I teach a class at work about the four different generations in the workplace. So you got your traditionalists, or the greatest generation. You've got your baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. And a big thing I'm hearing among the baby boomers, both it's two arguments on the same coin. On the one hand, they're wishing that they could be like the millennials and do the things they always wanted to do when they were younger, while they could still physically do it. Whereas now they're reaching retirement age, they're taking care of their parents, they're taking care of their kids, they can't even afford to retire because they're taking care of so many people. And then even if they didn't have to take care of them, they've got to take care of themselves because even their health is starting to fail. They've right. got to stay close to hospitals, and they can't take a trip around the world or backpack through Europe or
right.
you know, go visit the Vatican or, you know, things like that, that, you know, their adventures that they always wanted to take. They're in a stage of life where they can't physically or financially go and do that. And then here comes the millennial that is willing to lose a job to go to the Olympics,
right.
just to be a spectator there, or to go and ski the Alps, or, you know, whatever it is. They're living their dreams now while they're young, and the work is just there to support it. Or they're launching that cause now instead of the career with the benefits. And that's blowing the minds of Gen Xers and baby boomers, because they're like, no, you go to school, you get a job. When you retire, you could do that stuff. And the millennials right. are like, no, we could do it now. And the work stuff will be there too. And we'll right. have all these new experiences we bring to the table that you didn't have because you stayed right here in your career. And so sharing the story of the friend who's retired after 40 years, you know, the 40 years of missed opportunity, I think.
Right. And I don't want to get to the end and just wished I'd done some things, you know, and so many people say that, you know, the nurses and doctors that are with people when they pass away, they always say the same thing, you know, I regret not doing some things,
yeah.
you know, they don't regret not working 40 years or not adding a little bit to their investments. They regret the experiences that mm-hmm. they missed. And I don't want to be that way. I want to experience not only my family and friends, but I want to do things that I can look back and say, I'm glad I tried it.
Yeah.
You know, and even this triathlon, if, you know, I'm laying there in the street and can't move and somebody drags me across the finish line, as long as I get my t-shirt, then I'm going to say, hey, I finished a triathlon.
But give me my participation trophy.
Exactly. And to me, that's what it's all about. Is there's so many people listening to us right now that say, well, I don't want to run a triathlon. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
But you have something that you've always wished you could do, but you're not like whoever that could do that. Mm-hmm. Well, you are like that. You know, we're going to do an interview soon. A young lady named Elise is going to come on, and she's really young, but she's living yeah. her dreams. Sarah McDaniel, you know, I think she's in Guatemala now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she went back.
There are so many people that I promise you a year or two, maybe 3 years ago, never would have believed they're where they're at now, mm-hmm. but they just stepped out on faith and thought, how bad could it be? I would rather fail than never know.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking, yeah, but I want to do this, but it's really huge, that's okay. Take it in small steps and get it done.
Yeah.
Fail at it before you just give up on it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. That's a great way to end the episode, too. What do you think?
Boom.
Boom. All right. We want to thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Rut. You can find us at our website, beyondtherut.com/058. That's episode. Actually, I got that wrong. So
good
you
idea.
Can find the show notes at beyondtherut.com/059. There we go. And we'd love to hear from you. We want to hear your Beyond the Rut story. What are you doing to get beyond your rut or prevent your rut from ever happening? And you can send that story by phone at 361-596-3788. You can go to our website, beyondtherut.com, where we've got a tab that says, leave us a message for the show. You can also email us at info@beyondtherut.com. Mm-hmm. So I threw two ats in there. Or link up to us on Facebook, send us a message through Facebook, and just say you got permission to share this. And we'd love to share your story on Beyond the Rut in an upcoming episode. So share with us your Beyond the Rut episode at any of those things we just told you. Or if you have somebody who has a great story to share, connect us. So
we would love to tell it. And if you'd like to be in the audience like Jacob did and buy a ticket for less than $400, a lot less, $400 less, send us a message. We'll hook up with you.
Now, we didn't actually make Jacob pay.
So. You got a credit card.
All right. Thank you very much. Catch you on the next episode.
A little bit quieter now.
Now we can really yell at each other.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Schmolies.
All right. Now Jacob knows that our mic check is us singing to each other.
Sometimes we do a little in sync in the back, and we got a whole dance routine.
Bye, bye, bye.